دوران بزن و در رو تمام شده.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers, and welcome to the Leader's Speech Discussion. Today we're talking about a speech delivered by the leader on the 12th of July 2020, where he's talking about the Majlis, which is the parliament, and how it is interrelated with the people's hopes. Now, as always, we're not going to go through the entire speech. We don't have time to do that. We're going to give you four points from the speech. The first point is, what is the Majlis? What does it mean? The second point is, our problems are our own. The third point is about Shahid Qasim Soleimani, and the fourth point is about the onslaught of the arrogant front. So without further ado, I'm going to start with the first question, which is, what is the Majlis? When the rahbar, when the leader is talking about this Majlis, what is it? Sayyid Shahriyar.
Right, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's always a pleasure to be on the program. Just for really quick, they call it the Majlis for short. Majlis is, of course, is a word in Persian. But the Majlis is literally, it is the Islamic Republic's legislative body. Yeah. Okay, it is the legislative branch. In Persian, the full name is called Majlis-e Shura-e Islami.
Right, yeah, because okay? For common audiences, when you say Majlis, they're thinking of, you know, a blackened room where they were commemorating the death anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi right. salam, for example.
Right.
But that's
right.
not what we're talking about.
No, that's not what we're talking about. No. Yeah. So, and in English, the translation, it is called an Islamic Consultative Assembly.
Wow.
Right? Okay. And so we also call it the Iranian Parliament. And for short, of course, they call it the Majlis. It has 290 representatives. The most recent election took place on February 21st of this year, 2020. And the parliament opened up on May 28th, 2020. And very interestingly, the leader has called it one of the strongest and most revolutionary parliaments in the post-revolutionary era.
Subhanallah. Now, the system, the Islamic system today, having these different bodies of government, I think that's a little bit of news for people out there. And a lot of people out there are not even familiar about their own systems of governance. So when they hear these things about Majlis and things like these and these kinds of terms, it's a little bit of a, whoa, okay, interesting.
I think parliament is a pretty common phenomenon in every other country. You know, it's a... democratic, so-called democratic systems around the world, they recognize this term parliament. So it's a very commonly known, segment of the government and the ruling party.
So that was kind of an accurate translation of Majlis, parliament?
Yes, you can equate it to a parliament,
okay.
Yes.
Because we don't have time, let's go move on to the advices, because the leader, Imam Khamenei, he gives these advices to the Majlis, right? So would you want to pick up on there, Sheikh Sayyid?
Yeah, sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's interesting, you find that across the world, right, you have this concept of a parliament, or in the United States is a Congress and Senate. And so these are, you know, legislative bodies in governments across the world, right? Mm-hmm. So here we have this legislative body that has been recently elected, and the leader wants to give pieces of advice to these people who... he wants to give these people pieces of advice. It's quite a relatively long list. I'll just maybe point one or two, and I'll let Sheikh Ali point
the other ones,
yep. Right? Mm-hmm. For example, he says that our intentions need to be pure. So every person who has been elected for this parliament, the leader is telling them that their intentions need to be pure. They have to have good intentions, such as the intention to work for the benefit of the people.
Subhanallah, right.
If you look at the world governments, and it's very interesting to see when I was reading it, and even previously when the leader is talking to these governmental institutions, right, he, alongside many other good advices, like one of the things that is consistently there is that basically that push for acquiring taqwa and acquiring, you know, God-weariness, right?
Sheikh Ali, you're always talking about taqwa, right, and how it's a big solution to a lot of the problems that we're saying, because I always rant to you about, you know, there's this issue and people are not, you know, they need to be babysitted and they're not, you know, working for the cause wholeheartedly, and you always say taqwa. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I can
So, you know, this is something which becomes that foundation for any operative system in the Islamic world. If they have this taqwa, if they have this God-weariness, if they have this pure intentions, right. This is what the fuel and the driving force for any Muslim or for any Muslim body is. And for our viewers out there, you know, even the organizations that we build, right? The foundation has to be taqwa. Mm-hmm. If it is there, if that God-weariness is there, then we will see the results and we will produce the results. The last people you would want to hear that are being advised to acquire taqwa are the parliamentarians. Nobody does it. Mm. But you look at the leader, and this is what the Islamic system is all about. You make sure that your foundation is correct, right? And this is what makes an Islamic system different than the non-Islamic systems.
If the people at the top have taqwa, if they're God-conscious, then it will trickle down. You heard the first takbir. We're out of time for this part, but the second point is about our problems being our own.
Right.
So Imam Khamenei, he quotes the verse of the Quran: "ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس." Fasad or corruption has appeared in the land and the sea because of what mankind has done. And then he starts to talk to the parliamentarians and tell them.
See, there's a proposition that, okay, all of the problems that we have are because of this XYZ, right? Sometimes, you know, it's because of the, you know, referred to as, it's all because of America, it's all because of UK, it's all because of France, and because there are enemies. Mm. Now, the leader makes it very clear. He says that while America is there, and America's enmity towards us is there, and they are doing damage to the system, but a lot of the issues that we have are because of our own negligence. Mm-hmm. You cannot just rule out your own negligence saying that, okay, it's all because of the external powers and external forces, mm-hmm. right? So this is what he pointed out, and he mentioned that, yes, America is there being the enemy, and you know its cohorts and its affiliates, they are doing enmity against the Islamic system, but you have to notice that there are issues with the people running the system as well.
So this is something that we hear often from people, oh, there's corruption in Iran, or there's this issue in Iran.
Right. So this is where he said, you know, the cause of it is because of our own shortcomings of the government officials sometimes people who are made in charge of something, mm-hmm. people who have authority. So he's pointing out that you need to also look at your own weaknesses.
Right.
You can't just blame it all on the enemy. Yes, mm-hmm. the enemy is there. You know, it's kind of like if I, God forbid, do something wrong and I say, oh, it was shaitan. Well, yes, shaitan is there, but where is my own role in it, right? I was being negligent. I had shortcomings, and because of that, mm-hmm. we suffered. And also, like when he talks about this negligence, he also points out the solution to it. So he just doesn't bring up a problem and leave it in the air.
Right.
And this is one thing that we need to learn, you know, as an ummah. We complain all the time. We bring up, you know, this is not right, this is not right, this is not right. But then when you ask people, what is the solution? Nobody has an answer.
Mm,
right. Well, don't just be complainers. Come up with solutions. Come up with answers. If you're going to complain, fine, complain. But bring solution to the table. And this is what the leader says. He says that self-reliance and self-confidence is the solution of this negligence.
Right.
If we rely on the God-given energies and resources that we have, if we rely on ourselves, if we're not looking towards the outside world for help, we will be successful. You know, we do it with the proper intentions, the pure intentions that Sayyid mentioned before, and he also points out real quickly the oath that the parliamentarians take. The leader says...
Oh, yeah, this is a beautiful point. Right.
The leader says that this oath that you take before you become parliamentarians and after people vote you in and they have this vote of confidence as a result of which you become a parliamentarian, this oath is not a joke. It's not just a formality.
Mm-hmm.
He says that it is a shar'i oath. It is religious obligation upon you. The oath you have taken, you will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment if you do not fulfill your responsibilities as listed in your job description, for instance, right?
Mm.
And then last point about this, I want to say, the leader said, despite all these issues, despite this negligence, I am satisfied and I am confident. He brings himself
in that
these problems are going to go away if we just do our responsibility.
Inshallah. Any quick points on this?
Yeah, very quickly. Again, I would challenge anybody out there to compare this system and this philosophy of running a government that the Islamic Republic has, as Sheikh Ali brought up, with any other government in the world? Will you find any president or any king or any monarch or any leader giving this kind of advice to their parliamentarians, to their congressmen, to their Senate? You won't find it anywhere else in the world other than the system of the Islamic Republic. Very quickly, it takes a very brave and courageous person to say that the fault is within me. Okay? No. This is one point here that needs to be said, that listen, we're not blaming anybody else. There are other factors, but the main factor is within us, right? As Sheikh Ali brought up. And I want to make a quick comparison with the United States of America and the president that they have over there, Donald Trump, right? Mm. This individual will not accept responsibility for absolutely anything.
Except the good things.
And the good things even they make up, right? These are the good things. They make up the good things, right? So, for example, coronavirus mismanagement. From day one, they have never accepted responsibility for the mistakes of the American government. Instead, what did they decide to do? Well, it's the China virus. It's the China virus.
The Chinese virus.
Right? It's the virus that the Chinese brought out, right? Yeah. And when they got sick of doing that, now recently you see that they're blaming who? Dr. Fauci. It's all Fauci's fault. These people are, they don't have any courage, right? They are weak in their mind and their soul. And here you find an individual who is showing a model for the rest of the world to be able to follow.
The second takbir went. So we're going to talk about the third point now, which is a point that the leader makes about Shahid Qasem Soleimani. Who's going to jump in here, Sheikh?
Well, Shahid Qasem Soleimani was brought in a context. The leader mentions him in this particular speech when he was talking about the two capacities that the Iranian nation, the Islamic Iranian nation has, or Islamic Republic has. One of them is material capacity, right? So natural resources, you know, human resources, capital, you know, so on and so forth. Then he brings up another aspect of capacities, national capacity. He said it is spiritual capacity. So these two types of capacities that exist within the system to handle all the issues, let it be economic or otherwise, inside the country, he said that we have these two capacities. And when he talked about spiritual capacity, we don't have time to go into material capacity, but we'll just say spiritual capacity, right? He brought up two things. One was Corona, the COVID-19, and how Iranians, you know, responded to the call of the leadership and rather the humanitarian call, all the relief groups that were, you know, serving the needy people, how the medical staff actually volunteered.
We don't have time to actually show you guys everything, but they did a really good job. I mean,
it was amazing.
When you compare it to what the rest, especially the Western world, I mean, it is disgusting what the government is doing and what many of the people as well are doing in the Western world.
Now, the thing is, like, you know, when the leader talked about this Corona thing, he said, you know, you responded to and you reached out to help people, right? Similarly, he said this particular thing was a spiritual capacity that expressed in the society. A lot of times when we talk about spirituality, all we're thinking about is like either praying or fasting or reading Quran, you know, those things. But look how the leader is bringing up serving humanity, being on the forefront and dealing with social challenges to be part of this spiritual capacity. So this is where Iranian nation, they showed their spiritual capacity when they fought Corona in the first phase, in the first...
This third point is about Shahid Qasem Soleimani, right?
And this is right after Corona, he mentions, you know, slightly before this huzur dar sahneh or presence in the battlefield of the Iranian nation, we see that Shahid Qasem Soleimani, when he was martyred at the hands of the wretched Americans, what did the public do? They came out to pay their gratitude to this man, to this personality. Rather, it was a gratitude to this whole camp of resistance. The people, the public, they are ready to resist against the enemies of Islam and humanity.
And he says something about it being clear as daylight or sunlight in the middle.
Yes, and he said that if somebody cannot see this, that the people, they want to defend themselves against the oppressors and they want to resist If somebody cannot see that, it's as if they're denying sun in the bright daylight. They're saying that the sun doesn't exist while it's all bright daylight.
Right.
So in other words, he said that these people are going to be left behind, which he has mentioned before too.
Right.
The Islamic movement is progressing. It is moving forward at a faster pace. Mm. And if somebody is still doubtful, they're the ones who are going to be at loss. Mm-hmm. They're going to be left behind.
The third takbir has gone.
Yeah, sorry. So, I mean, here you find that the people coming out, it wasn't just an emotional thing, as Sheikh Ali said, and as the leader said.
This
wasn't just emotions. No, this was standing up for what Qasem Soleimani stood for. And so here we need to understand what he stood for. And basically, fundamentally, he stood up for, and he was the manifestation of the resistance against the arrogant front.
Mm.
Okay? He was the manifestation, a champion who fought for the rights of the oppressed all over the region and all over the world. Okay? He was a champion, a national hero, a religious hero, a spiritual hero. He was a military hero, right? This individual has this comprehensiveness. He was a practical hero as well. He was, again, like I said, the manifestation of the fight against global tyrants and global bullies, right? So, and the last thing, this individual, and this is why everybody came out in the millions, because they stood up for what he stood up for. What did this individual accomplish of all of his accomplishments, right? The most recent one was the fact that he was instrumental in defeating ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, who are the people, according to the words of President Donald Trump? It is the Obama administration, the American government, who funded and created ISIS.
Yeah. Yeah, Clinton,
okay.
Obama. Yeah.
And so, and this is what he said, right? So here, the people came out in the millions to support and stand up for what Qasem Soleimani stood for.
And that's
for
the spiritual capacity.
Yeah, I mean, we're way out of time, so we're going to have to spend a little bit less time on the next point, but I can't help but add this point to
what you just said, Syed.
It's the fact that, look, this resistance is more alive today than it ever was before. Shahid Qasem Soleimani is more alive today than he ever was before. The Holy Qur'an itself is testifying, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يرزقون. Do not suppose those who are slain in the way of Allah as dead. Nay, they are alive, being sustained with the Lord. Shahid Qasem Soleimani is alive according to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Now, the fourth point is about the onslaught of the American, the front of arrogance. Now, we mentioned that we're not going to blame everything on the enemy, we're not going to blame everything, but to deny that the enemy exists is also a mistake as
That's
well.
That's another extreme, right? So America is not...
If I can go ahead and start, and then I'll let you, conclude, right? So here you find that the leader, he does say America. So that's there, right? He says, but it's not just America, it's a whole host of people, right? So for example, the Europeans. Mm. The Europeans are in this mix, right? They buckled under Washington's pressure, but in reality they didn't buckle. They are with Washington. They never did anything against Washington's desires, right? But the leader here, he says that this is a vast front, right? And they are keeping the rest of the world down in order to keep themselves up. This is the arrogant front, to keep themselves up, keep themselves in power. And the last statement on my behalf, right, is that the rahbar, the leader, he said in one of his speeches, it's like the I can't breathe slogan, which today is all across America, right, and all across the world. He said in his speech that just as, let me repeat, that all over the world, the oppressed masses are under the knees of America and the arrogant front for multiple years and have been yelling, I can't breathe.
The knee is still on their neck.
Right.
The world cannot breathe because of America.
Mm-hmm.
America, you know, it's the most vicious and the most brazen of all the enemies that we have.
Right.
That's a done deal. Now, we have to sometimes understand, you know, how the enemy works. There's a conglomeration. Right? So we say it's a front of arrogance,
right.
The jibhaye istakbar, right? So this front of arrogance, it's comprised of different players,
right?
America is not alone. Yes, it's at the top, but it's not alone. Now, one of the points that the leader, Imam Khamenei, mentions, and it's a beautiful point, that if you notice, the enemy has combined all its energies and all of its affiliates and cohorts to come and fight you. What does this tell you? This tells you that you are strong.
Exactly.
If you were not strong, why would they have to like come out in, you know, power and like spend so much money on you, right? Right. Trump said himself that we spent $7 trillion in this West Asia region to get what? To gain what? Right? So the leader says that know your value, know who you are. And one of the issues with Muslims, generally speaking, is that we don't know who we are. We don't know how strong the Islamic Ummah is, the Islamic movement is. The enemy does. If you want to know how strong you are, look at their ihtimam, how they are organizing against
and
you.
And this goes back to the idea of hope. You know, you need to believe in yourself.
Right. Look at the monetary, you know, side of things. How much money they have spent on creating ISIS to pit, you know, Muslims against Muslims. Why? They knew they couldn't defeat Muslims from outside. So they're like, okay, let's, you know, create a fake group to create this division, right? Tons of money. I don't even know, like trillions and trillions of dollars were spent to create ISIS. To know what? That they get defeated at the hands of Islamic resistance.
Right.
Not even the Islamic government went in yet. It was just the Islamic resistance. You have to understand. The Islamic Republic didn't send their armies there. It was the Islamic grassroots Islamic resistance that stood up and fought ISIS, right? So know your value, that you're powerful, and the enemy is doing everything that they could against you to bring you to your knees. But alhamdulillah, the Islamic movement is moving forward. The leader says the enemy has brought all its economic, political and promotional forces to the arena. So this propaganda that you hear, all of these confusions that you have in your head, you didn't dream of them.
Yeah.
Right? They were not just revealed to you. You have been a victim of enemies' propagation and propaganda because they're spending billions and trillions on these mainstream media outlets, even on social media. Our voices are not heard. Why? You know, just know that, you know, they're playing with the viewership of Islamic channels who are speaking the truth. So all you get to hear is the voice that is actually opposing this whole resistance front. So know your value, know what you're dealing with, and know your enemy.
That's all we have time for today. If you do have any questions or queries, you can comment underneath, inshallah. We're excited to see what you have to say. And just off the back of that, share this content because we rely on you to get the message across. You are the officers of the soft war, from myself, and from Sayyid, and from Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.